Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Live from Drift Bar for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees broadcasting live from Drift in the Heights, 1207 West 20th. Right. This is the spot. You looking for a place to go after work today? Come to Drift in the Heights, 97.5 Beer Bucket Specials. Five beers, $20 during the broadcast. You're looking for a place to watch all your sports tomorrow? How about LSU, Alabama? Well, Drift is the official LSU alumni watch party every Saturday. Purple and gold here every Saturday when the Tigers are playing. Also, the Astros will be in action tomorrow night, too. How could I forget that? Watch the Astros playoff run. And then every NFL game on Sunday, they'll have it here at Drift. Any game that you want to watch, they'll take care of you. Two bigger screens in the Heights, 250-inch screen on the south patio, dog-friendly patio, drink specials, happy hour every Monday through Friday until 8 o'clock. You got to check out Drift. It is the spot to be. All right, let's get right back. Let's get right into who said it. Every Friday at 2. We play this game. Who said it? It's everybody's favorite game. We've been on a little bit of a slump in who said it, Brendan. Brendan, will you read to us quote number one?
Oh, that quickly? I wanted to ask how you guys were doing with today's.
Today's? Yeah, I mean, I couldn't tell you how we're doing about today. We haven't started today.
How are you feeling about today's? Because it's been a rough run.
I don't like your jocularity and trickery lately. I don't like the fact that...
That should be illegal, by the way.
To ask
the
whole, how you're doing?
No. That's fine. You can always ask how I'm doing. I don't have to give you an answer, but you can always ask how I'm doing. The whole, like, three BKs.
Three or four, whatever
it should be illegal.
It should be illegal.
Excuse me?
No. You had more than two last week, sir.
No, you guys are wrong. I had two. You were in your heads.
Anything. You shouldn't have more than one.
No.
You shouldn't have more than one.
No. We could talk about this off air, but I disagree.
Man, I disagree with you. All right, what's number one? Do we have more than one this week, Brendan?
We'll see. The challenge for this week, by the way, will be two, because you guys are clearly in your heads right now, so only two this week.
The challenge
you
is
discriminate
two.
Against other talent on the station by just showing your favoritism.
Number one, people can't have fun anymore. No fun allowed.
Very generic.
Yeah. People can't have fun anymore. No fun allowed. It seems like, obviously, it's a very sarcastic thing to say. Paulie's always very sarcastic, and Brendan loves Paul.
BK, not as much as BK lately.
BK's always very sarcastic, and Brendan loves BK. That's a tough one, man. Like, there's zero clue there with, like, any sort of vernacular. There's no clue, really, in, like, how they speak. Like, that is super, super vanilla. So it could be anybody.
I'll give you a little bit of context. I don't remember the exact conversation, but I can tell you it was in the context of people being upset about something. So it's saying people aren't allowed to have fun.
I think that, and just talking this through, the first thing that I heard when I heard that quote was Lance or John, and more Lance than John. And then the only other guy that I could hear really saying it like that would be Jake, because Jake quarterbacking with two other guys with opinions, a lot of times, you know, Jake can just kind of get a quick little kind of rejoin-ish to the conversation by coming in and saying, I mean, you can't have any fun anymore. I mean, people can't have any fun because you know that BK is going to have, like you said, his sarcasm. Cody's going to have some comments. That would just be my initial coming out of the gates with it.
You feel better about Lance or Jake?
I mean, you're going to completely discount who you think. I mean, do you think that you feel strongly on any?
No, I don't.
You don't.
if gun to my head, I would lean Lance over Jake.
Okay.
Did you have a lean on Lance or Jake, or were you split?
I really don't. I mean, like I said, initially I thought bench, then I thought I could see Lance saying this because I'm kind of seeing them saying this regardless of what it was about. And then I could see the point I made about Jake, too. So I've narrowed it down to those two now in my mind, too. I mean,
Let's go Lance then. That was okay. First right. one that you said. Always go what's at the top of your mind.
Okay.
People can't Lance. Have fun anymore, BK.
Oh, man.
No fun allowed.
0 for 1.
And I had it all down to that, too.
You got there.
You
got
there. I told you to go with what your gut said.
Dang it.
All right. Number 2. They're not even real people, those Philadelphia fans. They're heathens. They are the worst.
Heathen sounds like a Paul word.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Paul word. It can even be a Lance or a Granato word. I don't think heathens would be on the wheelhouse unless it's... BK could say heathens, but I don't think so.
See, I think John and Lance would be on the attack. They wouldn't be like, you know, these guys are this, and I don't, you know, almost like they would be like, you know, screw those guys, and they think they're tough and blah, 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 blah. I don't think I could see them saying anything other than, like, pushing back and being tough, whereas I could see... And I don't think Patrick Creighton would ever do that. I think it's definitely down to Paul and then the wheelhouse.
Okay.
So where are you with the wheelhouse? You think it's or Paul? Or is it you think it's Paul?
I don't think Cody or Jake would say heathens.
Okay.
So if you get it down to the wheelhouse and Paul,
then like it's kinda, Paul.
I would say either Paul or BK. And I think I just feel like heathens is more of a
I think
a
you're right.
Word.
I'll go with that. I can see that.
Right, let's go with Paul Gallant, Brendan.
Not even real people, those Philadelphia fans. They're heathens, man. They're the worst.
I want to say...
We've been pretty good.
I agree with you guys. Heathens is more of a Paul word than a BK word.
The fact that we've narrowed it down both times to the person it was and picked the wrong one is a bit annoying.
Our finalists have been great.
Yeah.
The final has not been great.
I really
like the
logic
on that one. That's why we should leave it up to a fan vote. Do like the voice or something. We'll just narrow it down to the finalists and then let the fan vote take us home.
I think you guys really worked through that one well. I think you're right on heathens. I think it was a rare off chance where you got it wrong.
All
percentages
right,
were in your
three.
Favor. All right, number 3, and you got a little bit of room for error still. I gave a teenage kid with no costume and just had a Walgreens sack, expecting me to give him candy. I gave him bacon fat.
Bacon fat.
So who's actually... turning the lights on and giving out candy besides us.
The wheelhouse isn't handing out candy. Creighton could hand out. Paul's not handing out candy.
Granato lives on like the 135th floor of some high
Paul
rise.
Paul might be trick or
treating. Oh, does he?
I don't know. I don't think he's got like. Paul probably did go trick or treating.
So yeah. So it's as Rip from Yellowstone. I think it's either Lance or Patrick.
Ooh, the Patrick one is a good call.
No.
You're right. I would agree with that. I would agree because unless Cody was at Mama Stutes' house, I think you've got it. I think you're pretty onto it. I think that it's one of those two. Who would be more likely to go all the way to play the bacon fat card? Lance is a connoisseur of food.
Yeah, so is Pat.
Yeah, but Pat I don't think gets into the chef stuff. Lance hangs out with chefs and, you know.
I mean, I think you're putting a little bit too much value in bacon grease.
Okay.
Like, you don't – that's not a, you know, a very thank you chef type of thing. I think it's probably – I'm leaning Lance. Is that your lean?
I was until you hit me with the PC thing. I think that it could be. But, yeah, I mean, those were my first two. And if you want to go with my gut feeling, then Lance was my guy.
All right. Let's go there. Let's go with Lance Zuerlein, Brendan.
Yeah. Gave a teenage kid who had no costume and Finally. Just had like a Walgreens.
And I really do because
I
think the way
candy,
that Lance
I did
loves food.
Pretend like I was giving him candy and I gave them bacon fat.
Good, good.
See, I think the way Lance loves food and he cooks a lot at home and stuff like that. That's why it was my initial.
I'm glad we got that because I started to feel a little bit like Trey Mancini in the playoffs.
Ooh.
That's how I was feeling with
Better
who said
use your gloves.
It. So we're off to Schneid. We got one. All right, quote number 4, Brendan.
I was scared that you guys were going to get 3 straight runner-ups. All right, number 4. I'm verified, and what do I bring to the table?
Well, I know Lance is verified, and he's made a big deal about how he needs it.
Aren't they all verified, though? Isn't Lance verified? I'm sure. Is Granato verified?
I don't think so, but I don't know.
I think Paul is verified because I think Paul and I got verified through the same person.
Oh, okay.
Jake is verified. I think Cody's probably verified too by the same person. I don't know if BK is. I think everybody at our station's verified.
Okay. I know I heard Lance talk about it this week on the bench, so I know that the topic
the topic
came up.
Was up.
The topic was up, and I know that he talked about it. But I don't know, you know, who else is, and...
Can you repeat the quote, Brennan?
I'm verified, and what do I bring to the table?
I'm verified, and what do I bring to the table? See, it's got to be somebody who doesn't bring a lot to the table, though. Like, Lance brings draft profiles and all that stuff to the table. You know what I mean? Like, his verification makes sense. He's NFL.com. He does draft profiles. He does all of this. So yeah. I think we're probably down to Lance Granato, Asmund Stoops.
Yeah, I think it's Stoops, Paulie.
Could be Paulie. It could be Paulie.
Stoops, Paulie, Jake, and I know I heard Lance talk about it. But, I mean, would he do it again to me where he would
do two in a row?
Two in a row.
Yeah, of course he would. Brendan's evil.
Yeah.
Absolutely he would do that.
I kind of think he hasn't used Paul yet.
I'm verified. And see, Lance does things to the Twitter community, like draft profiles.
He doesn't want someone to use someone acting like him on like a draft profile or otherwise, and he needs it.
So you think it's more Paul?
Well, I mean, you're saying you think he's the same guy verified him, blue check marked him as you.
Yeah.
So he's in the conversation.
Yeah.
So it's him, Cody, Jake. Jake's because he's got to have all of his Jets hotlines. Jake's got to be.
Man. What's your lean? I'm kind of leaning Paul.
I think I am, too. I think when you said that, it kind of a light went off that maybe it is Paul. But no, wait a minute. Time out. From an ego standpoint, Paul never says he's a nobody.
No, that's not true. Paul's self-deprecating, absolutely.
Oh, Paul loves him some him.
Yeah, but he's also self-deprecating. He'll make fun of himself all the time.
See, now I'm... All right.
You don't think Paul ever makes fun of himself? Paul
he'll make fun of himself. Yeah, he makes fun of himself, but I think more times than not, he also has a massively high opinion of himself.
Cody, and he
doesn't hide it.
Cody's cheap.
Yeah.
So like the whole $8 a month thing?
Yeah.
One more time, Brendan, then we'll give you an answer real quick.
I'm verified, and what do I bring to the table? We still got one more to go.
Let's go, Paul. I would hate to be wrong with Paul after we talked about Paul so long.
All right, I want a record to say that I was my late reservations were for Cody, but we'll go Paul.
All right, Paul it is, Brendan.
I'm verified, and what do I bring to the table?
Nice.
Self-deprecating Paul Gallant. All right, two for four. We got a chance for three here. What's
the record,
five?
Paul, Jake, Cody, and Lance are verified. BK.
And Branham.
And Jeremy. But you weren't in the discussion here. BK
I know,
is
I just
not,
wanted to mention that.
John is not. I actually thought you guys would know that. I don't know why. That was dumb of me to think that. But I thought you guys
to know
would,
who was verified?
Yes. And I didn't know. I looked it up. So I don't know why I thought you guys would know. All right, number five.
What's the last one?
There is at least a couple opportunities a year where I can cover my ugliness.
That's Cody.
That's not Paul. I can tell you that right now, based on our last conversation. That ain't Paul.
I think it's Cody. I think it was on Halloween when he was wearing the Vader mask.
Okay, good call.
I mean, that's just immediately what came to mind.
You convinced me. I can go with that in a heartbeat.
Let's go, Cody, Brendan.
There's at least a couple of opportunities a year where I can cover
my
ugliness.
Like, low-key, I'm on fire. I just hit three in a row. I'm on fire. Heat check. Like, let's go one more, Brendan. I need a heat check.
You talked me out of the first two, but okay.
I don't have another
one. No, I didn't. I put both of them on your table and said pick it. Yeah, I think that might have been my greatest performance in Who Said It
History. Well, at least we say face and... One, so that makes my weekend good. Well, that's great.
We'll have a great weekend now. Very good. All right,
now, if our wagering goes well, look the hell out, people.
Nether Ranch water, please. All right, where do you stand on people proclaiming that the World Series is over? It's the Killer Bees from Drift on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Live from Drift Bar for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Astros won baseball yesterday. They're up 3-2 in the World Series. Killer Bees broadcasting live, Drift in the Heights, 1207 West 20th. We'll be here for the next 45 minutes. Will House will be coming up right after us. They're on deck. They'll take you all the way to 7. Great spot.
They're going to have a tough day, though, by the way.
Before next
they might have to do a full show today.
We can't really complain. I mean, they did 3 hours. Our show's 3 hours.
Don't get me to elaborate.
It's true. I mean, there's one extra person, but...
Yeah, and okay.
What else?
I mean, nothing.
Okay, all right. Here's a problem that I have with, like, it's great that the Astros are up 3-2. So, like, whatever. But one of the things that I've seen on the hills and the reaction from the Astros going up 3-2 in the World Series... is I've seen some people say the World Series is over. And I almost feel, and you guys can say if I'm crazy here, because sometimes I can be a little bit, maybe a little bit too passionate. Maybe I get into my feelers a little bit too much. I feel like anybody who is saying that is almost trying to jinx the Astros or hates the Astros.
I think just looking at history, you realize that's the complete wrong mentality. You know, from my standpoint, I'm hyper superstitious, karma based, always, you know, trying to do the things to make sure that everything works out in the right way and not getting too ahead of ourselves. So all of that talk just makes me cringe, like completely going, please don't. No, no, no. And remember the Nationals. That's all I won't celebrate and take a deep breath until they actually close the deal.
Right.
And any kind of conversation like that makes me worry way too much.
I feel like it's trying to kind of be a hot shot, proclaim it more than anybody else. Oh, the Astros have it. But I also feel like it's like a subtle little backhand. If the Astros don't get this done, it's kind of like a choke job. Like saying, well, if the Astros don't win the World Series this year, like even before the playoffs started, it's a complete failure of a season. Oh, the World Series is over. Like it's almost setting them up for failure with that tone. Like trying to be this hot shot. Like I don't feel like a true Houstonian or like somebody who really likes the Astros would be speaking in that way. And like you've been in Houston for a very long time, converted Astro fan. I've lived here my entire life since the mid-80s. Brendan, we've adopted him into our Astro family as well, who's probably has like, you know, infancy in his Astro fandom. So sometimes like we ask Brendan what he thinks about this, because I think Brendan might be more rational. Maybe he doesn't play into the fillers as much as sometimes as we do. How do you feel about this, Brendan? Are we a little bit over the top? Are we being crazy here?
So I will say I went into the topic 100% on your side. I would dial back a little bit from where you're at in that if they don't win the series, I do think that's a failure. I do think it would be a choke job to lose the series. So I don't think you have to set that take up. That being said, to declare it over, I think is a little dismissive of what the Phillies have been in the postseason and especially in this series. I think you're lying to pretend that they haven't pushed you. And so to write it off is over. As somebody who's felt pretty good, honestly, the only time the entire playoffs where I went, okay, I'm not like super confident they're going to win the World Series was after they fell down 2-1. I still felt okay, but it was the first time I lost some of that confidence. And I don't think even being up 3-2, you fully regain that because the Phillies have shown they can push you.
Sure. I think what the Phillies have left to matters. One, like from an offensive perspective, the Phillies are a good offense. This is the best offense that you faced, and they're obviously capable of beating you. They homered 5 times off Lance McCullers, which was a record off a single pitcher in the World Series. They strike fear into pitchers. Justin Verlander struggled through 5 innings yesterday, battled through it, ended up pitching pretty well, right? 1 run, 5 innings. Hammered Lance McCullers. Now, Javier was very good against them, one of the best pitching performances of all time that I feel like people are just glossing over this performance of Christian Javier. But then also what they have on the mound. Like, we understand that Wheeler fatigue, knee, who knows what's really going on with Zach Wheeler, but we also know what Zach Wheeler is capable of doing. Sure. We know that Ranger Suarez is capable of shutting down the Houston Astro lineup. So when you have those two dudes on the bump, and you have a bullpen that's good. Alvarado is good. Has he been hit a little bit in this series? Sure. Dominguez is good. Has he been hit a little bit yesterday? Sure. David Robertson is good. They have a bullpen that's capable of beating you, and they have two dudes who are going to the mound that are capable of beating you as well. To say the Astros have won the 2022 World Series is putting the cart ahead of the horse.
Yeah, no, look, I think you look at it from the perspective, like I always tell you, even when the Packers are playing teams, I don't talk crap about any teams that my teams are playing against because I always am hyper-concerned, and I also don't like the backlash if it doesn't work out. From the doesn't-work-out perspective, you don't want to – I've always kept saying they need to win a second one to validate. Sure. Validate from the cheating, validate from the dynasty talk, validate from this golden – era of Astros baseball. The flip side is you don't want to be the Buffalo Bills. You don't want to be the team that constantly won the American League Championship Series and couldn't win the World Series and found a way to lose yet again. That's what you want to completely avoid in this scenario. I play it more like I think both teams, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but I think whether there was conversations in a team meeting or just on the side or some other way, the way Bryce Harper and the Phillies are doing the same thing Alex Bregman and Verlander are doing from the Astros' perspective, there is no bulletin board material. There is the closest thing to it was Tucker before the series started talking about we'd love to, you know, win 4 in a row. But other than that, it's everything you hear from all these guys constantly is – that's a good baseball team over there. That's a good lineup over there. That's good pitching over there. Because they don't want to say the wrong thing. That's my mentality. Like, you can bask in your greatness and gloat a little bit if you so choose after you've won it and sealed the deal. There's just too much that sits there that says don't do it too soon, because the way it could backfire on you could be extremely embarrassing.
713-780-ESPN. You can call us on our HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Where do you stand on people proclaiming the series is over? Or you can tweet us. He's at Pac-Man and Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. I did a little bit of digging on this, too. I did Astros' record in closeout games in the history of the playoffs, and also did Astros in closeout games in their World Series history. First with the playoffs, and I'm not going to go year by year, because the first time the Astros made the playoffs was in 1980. It goes all the way through 2021. So they've played 32 closeout games in the playoffs. Over the course of the Astros' history in closeout games, they're 14-18. That dates back to 1980. You don't want to hear about what happened in the 80s. You don't want to hear what happened with the Killer Bees, all of that. Okay, I get it. Astros in closeout games in the World Series. And they've only had two opportunities in two separate years of closeout games. They made the World Series in 05, never had a closeout game. They got swept in that series. And they didn't have a closeout game last year in 2021 against the Braves. They never won their third game. The Astros in closeout games in the history of the franchise in the World Series, 1-3. 2017, they had an opportunity to win Game 6 in L.A. Lost that game, but hey, came around, won Game 7. So what? You're celebrating your first ever World Series title. They had two closeout games against the Nationals. And King of Twitch just said this. Don't want to get nationaled again. The Astros had two opportunities to win at home against the Nationals, who, very similar, the Phillies and the Nationals, right? Two horses at the top of the rotation, a lineup that's pretty solid from top to bottom, some key arms in the bullpen that they could go to. I think the Phillies are a pretty good comparison to the Washington Nationals. The Nationals came into Houston trailing 3-2 in 2019, and the Astros lost both of those games. So if you're saying that the Astros have already won the World Series, you got some ulterior motives there, I think.
I keep harping on it, no pun intended, because of the fact that the Nationals were the team that you should, in recent history, go back to and go, this is exactly why you don't count your chickens before they're hatched, because you don't want it to have a series. Now, granted, in that series, no one won a home game the entire series, which was completely different. But at the same time, you were in the same position. You came home only needing to win one, and you didn't get the job done. That is all you need to know here and see and remember to say, I'm not going to do this again, so therefore I'm not going to set the table for it by being too confident too soon.
I think the Astros will win.
Like, I do too.
I think that they will win. But to eliminate the possibility that the Phillies, with Zach Wheeler on the mound, with Ranger Suarez on the mound, and with a lineup that is very good, that they don't have the possibility to win back-to-back games against the Houston Astros, is an asinine opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. And I think that if you think it's one thing to say it's improbable, it's another thing to say it's impossible. And if you start counting your chickens before they're hatched, that's on you, but I'm definitely not going to do that, because I've seen and remember too much, and I also want this team to win it so much for all the things I've said and a ton of reasons more than that, that I'm not crossing that line.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Where do you stand on people proclaiming that the series is over? We always see fall weddings, right? Fall weddings, which, of course, goes head-to-head with a little college football. If you're doing it on a Sunday, goes head-to-head with some NFL. If you're in Houston, it's going head-to-head against potential World Series clinchers. How do we feel about the sacrifice you have to make to attend a fall wedding, maybe this weekend? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we get to that, let's get to this. The people at Apollo Men's Health, I was there bright and early this morning. The people there are just fantastic because they care about their patients. And the bottom line is, for both men and women, they take care of you on a daily basis by making sure you get that energy back in your life. If you've got stuff going on from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, they're going to take care of you. They're going to make sure that you feel great again, you have the energy you need, and you recover quicker and do the kind of things that you want to do to live your best life. You're not trying to win a gold medal. You're trying to win the day. You're trying to get your honeydews done and your to-do list and your job and your kids and your family and your workouts. They take care of you. Go to ApolloMH.com right now. See all the services they offer and the ways they can help. If anything or multiple things look like they can help you, then make an appointment. You'll find out most major insurances accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. And if you mention my name, Joel Blank, free B12 shot, and or you can choose between one or the other. You can also get a free body composition analysis on your next visit. They take care of you, then let the process go from there. They're going to ask you tough questions. They're going to set you up by trying to figure out what you're trying to accomplish. You tell them your goals, they'll put you on a plan that works, they'll get you those results. I love these people because they get results on a daily basis. Check them out and tell them I sent you by. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Drift Bar. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees broadcasting live from Drift in the Heights. Half hour left of the Killer Bees here. Will House will be here until 7 o'clock. Happy hour specials until 8. You want to take advantage of that. A beer bucket special while we're here as well. The 97.5 beer bucket special. Lot of great sports tomorrow, especially here at Drift. Why? Well, Game 6 of the World Series, that's a big deal. They had a little outside canopy that's still up, so it looks like they're hosting some sort of World Series party yesterday. Still cleaning that up because it looked like it got a little raucous.
They'll use it again tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, I would imagine so. But also, it's the official LSU Alumni Watch Party every Saturday here at Drift, and LSU's got a big one tomorrow night as they take on Alabama. So this is the spot. If you're a Tiger in the city of Houston, you have to make it down here. Wear the purple and gold. Watch the 250-inch screen on the south patio, the two biggest screens in the Heights. Dog-friendly as well. High tides, good vibes, drink specials all the time as well. This is a great spot to be. Is it a great spot to be at a fall wedding? If there's perhaps a wedding this weekend for some people. Like, fall weddings are already tough, right? Because if it's Saturday, a lot of weddings are on Saturdays. You're looking at college football. We all know that everybody loves their college football. We all have our teams. You got the Badgers. I got the Cougs. We a huge diversity of college football fans in this city, of course. So everybody's got something to do on Saturday. Everybody wants to watch their team on Saturday. Especially difficult tomorrow because the Astros have an opportunity to win a World Series. How do you feel about a fall wedding, especially on a day where the Astros have a chance to clinch a World Series?
I mean, you know, especially when you have to take the female's perspective, even though I married a sports fan and you married a sports fan. Look, I think that it's the most important day of their entire life. So to ask them to reschedule is a very, very probably not only a difficult scenario, it's almost an impossible scenario to even want to bring to the table. For me, when I got married, we got married in September, and the Packers played the very next day. We had a breakfast the day after leading or a brunch with the game on because I had a lot of people from Wisconsin that came that wanted to watch the Packers and the Lions, ironically, and you kind of accommodate there. This is that that what is it, Allstate commercial? Not, what's the Mayhem? This is the Mayhem commercial
that
where he wants to watch the game while he's at the wedding, and he completely ruins the wedding watching the game. I think you. To me, to be accommodating, you make sure there are TVs available during the reception part and everything to watch.
But that's tough to do.
Miss Donna's here, and she can give you the female perspective. I think you have to cater to your bride, but at the same time, you also, with your guests, especially if they're coming from out of town and you know that there's a connection, give them an option.
It's such late notice. That's the tough part. Like, there wasn't
the wedding's not late notice.
No, the game. There wasn't supposed to be.
Well, that's not true.
Yeah, Game 6 would have. It would have been Game 7.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You moved an Elton John concert, but you're not going to move a wedding. I mean, there's a different set of scenarios. This is life-changing if you make the wrong decision with the wife.
I mean, whenever I schedule my wedding, I was very selective what month we were getting married.
Okay.
Now, a lot of times, I mean, sports is job.
Well, you have to with all your schedules.
So, I was very selective.
I was dealing with Rockets, so I wanted to do it before the preseason and training camp started.
So, sometimes sports work. I mean, that now it becomes a little bit more important, right? Like, kind of tenfold on what you're trying to do. I think the question here is, what you do. Well, I think there's two questions. One, how important does that person have to be to you to actually attend the wedding as opposed to just sending, a little Amazon gift or gift certificate?
Yeah, if this is a wedding of convenience and you're not expecting this to be a life changer for the rest
cousin
of your life, then you might think differently. But if you fully believe this is the one and for the rest of your life, this is who you're going to be with.
No, I'm not talking about the groom, dude.
I'm just saying. I was tongue in cheek talking about if you're just doing this as a kind of a convenience thing. But if you truly believe – this is where the bride has a whole lot to say in the matter. That's why
– No.
I believe me, as much as I wanted to make sure the Packer game was on for all of my guests, I also wanted to make sure Lisa was cool with it before we went that route.
I know. I'm talking about, if you're attending the wedding.
Yeah.
At what point are you planning on, not going to the wedding at all? That person's got to be pretty close to you.
You've got to be really connected
to
the people.
Yeah, it's not a fringe
involved
relationship. Yep. It's a pretty good relationship. If it is a pretty good relationship and you are going to the wedding – what's the game plan? How are you watching your team? How are you watching the World Series if you are going to this wedding?
Yeah, I think that you have to have, whether it be a very, very, very close friend and you're in the wedding, or a family member that you feel very close to. But I've blown off weddings for a lot less than a World Series and stuff like that. I still send a gift, but I'm not going into that knowing that it's going to cost me my viewing pleasure if I'm not really connected to whoever it is that's getting married.
Yeah.
Would you have turned it down in advance knowing it was the World Series?
Yes, absolutely.
But you don't know how far the World Series is going to go either.
That's not true. That's not true. The World Series schedule came out June, July.
But you could make it. You could have swept the series.
Yeah, but you also know that there's a possibility of a Game 7. I put the World Series schedule in my Google calendar. With the second that the playoff schedule came out,
planning.
Sure, I am.
Most.
I am, and I don't want to double book. I don't want to accept a job whenever there's the World Series Game 5, and I'm dreading going to work on a game, you know, World Series Game 5, because I'll do some other contract work. So I put, as soon as the playoff schedule came out, I put in the playoff schedule into my Google calendar. So if I got an invitation from a fringe relationship and I knew it was Game 6 of the World Series, I'm not taking plus one. I'm saying no, thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, I have never felt worse in my life than having a buddy of mine that I went to college with wanted me to read at his wedding, and I accepted it and then realized that the Rockets and the Rockets schedule was going to prevent me from doing it. And it's the biggest regret I've had.
How did you not know that?
Because at the time our schedule wasn't out and it wasn't verified, and you know, and so I felt
you didn't
awful
give them a heads up. Hey, it depends on the schedule.
I don't need you to hyperanalyze me right now.
Well, I'm just wondering. You know that you're working with the Rockets.
I've hyperanalyzed myself. I also was working for Darth Vader at the time, which is otherwise I would have just skipped work, but and said I'm going to miss this game. But at the time I was working for a guy that if you missed a game you might lose your job.
Yeah.
So it was a different set of circumstances. But yeah, I regret that like to this day, and I've had conversations with him about it, but
so you bolted.
I did not go to the wedding.
Yeah,
and I think that if you're thinking about that, it's one thing. If you're thinking about doing it because there's a World Series game, then I think you're not probably as connected to those people as, because otherwise you got to go and make do with trying to watch the game while you're there.
The strength of the relationship matters.
Big
absolutely
time.
Matters.
Big time.
We can tell by my travel plans this weekend that unlike Jeremy, didn't put the schedule for the World Series in my in my calendar. I don't think I'd be traveling this weekend if I had. That being said, where I'd be stuck is I because of that, I would have already committed to going. And you can't back out at this point, right?
No, I don't think you can back out at this point. Like, once you're pot committed, you're committed.
I mean, you're basically ending the relationship at that point if you say you're not going to watch the game.
And I think that's where the second part goes. Like, the second part of this conversation comes into play. All right, you're going. Like, the relationship's too strong. You're not burning that bridge. What is the plan now that you're at the wedding? Like, okay, it's your favorite college football team. Like, you can get away one regular season game. But it's your favorite team. The Astros are your favorite team. Chance to clinch the World Series, Game 6. What is your plan once you're at the wedding?
You got your phone in your pocket. And that's your safety valve, right? Like, you know where, if it's at, it depends on where the reception is and where it's being held. If it's held at, like, a hotel, that's fantastic, because now you know between the hotel bar and people you can talk to within the hotel of where are their TVs, where I can have some access, where I can pop in and check the score. You're obviously checking it on your phone without video, but you're also checking it on your phone if you need to with video. You just don't want to get caught. You don't want to be sitting at one of the reception tables or be on the dance floor and you're like, hey, they got two on, one out. Look out now. I got to go to the bathroom.
Maybe that they hit a home run, your boogie gets a little bit better.
Honest question, is it wrong?
Last thing you want to do is like be in the middle of the best man speech and everybody's quiet, the guy's talking, and all of a sudden
you hear a little soft
they
cheer.
Scored a run. You go, yeah!
Is it wrong to watch at the reception?
I don't think that it's...
Like, even on your phone, I think you can sit at a table on your phone and watch. I think that that's acceptable.
From a male perspective,
it's okay. From a female perspective, it would be frowned upon.
You have to cherry pick. Like, it has to be in the down moments. It can't be like introducing the bride and groom. It can't be father-mother dance. It can't be the bride dancing with the dad. It can't be cutting of the cake, the throwing of the – you get my drift.
It's
got to be in the downtime.
I also
it's got to be in the moments.
If it's
whenever
just cutting
it's
rug, eating, and, and chilling out.
It's hangout time.
On the flip side, I think, like, maybe you're not watching the whole game, but if it's getting close late or there are moments that, you know, you went to look up the score and you saw – that it was a tense moment in the game, you know, you pop it on then. I don't know if you sit down and watch it straight through, but I absolutely think, like, you can check in and out through video.
Look, yesterday we had the Holgerson show. That goes from 7 to 8. Now, we were in a bar, and we had TVs all around. So, but also, you don't want to be disrespectful to Coach. So, like, you're talking to him, and, like, maybe out of the corner of your eye, you're checking to see what happens. And then on Wednesday, right? Wednesday, we had the U of H banquet, the basketball tip-off dinner. So I was there, and I was actually trying to get through the event without knowing the score. I was actually so respectful of you
that I wasn't tweeting anything about
the game. I turned off my phone.
But under the premise that maybe you didn't,
yeah.
I was trying to even respect that, and then your boy ruined it for you.
I was trying to get through the banquet without finding out the score. I had it DVR'd. I was going to go home, watch the game start to finish. And the score was brought up at the banquet. But since the Astros were winning, I was like, well, that's great. Like, I wasn't that upset. But I didn't know at that time that there was a no-hitter going. I didn't know until I got in the car and I turned on Robert Ford that the Astros were working on a no-hitter.
Yeah, obviously the circumstances matter, but I've always been that way with Packer games. And, like, with my in-laws in town and my kids having things going on and the Packer game in London, I did the same thing. I didn't want to know. I turned off my phone. And you know, the car radio and everything like that. But then when I got back in the house, my mother-in-law quickly said, hey, the Packers are up 14. And I went, so now I'm watching the first half, but I'm fast-forwarding through a lot more because I already know it's kind of a letdown. I already know what happened.
See, if they're losing, then it's a different feeling.
Oh, no doubt.
But if they're winning, it's like a little bit of like, okay, that's awesome. I don't have to stress through the first five innings of the game. So I ended up – I listened to it the rest of the way on ESPN 97.5. And then I went back and rewatched it. I fell asleep watching, and then I rewatched it the rest of the game in the morning.
And I know we got to get to break. Can I just bring this up, too? Because I think you and I are the complete opposite of Paulie and Josh Innes, who were bashing Dan Shulman today.
Like, oh, Shulman's great.
I can't stand him. I think he is one of too boring. Even Sean Mapes, too boring, too like just blah, blah, blah.
I disagree.
I'm like, between Shulman and Brian Anderson, you got two of the best calling baseball games in these playoffs. Soak it up because they're really, really good.
I bet you they like Gus Johnson. I bet you that's what it is.
Yeah, probably
it might
right.
be that kind of
more,
generation.
That more modernized,
they want excitement. They want yelling.
Button.
They want somebody giving highlights, not calling the game. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Drifting the Heights. The Wheelhouse will be here from 3 to 7. Come hang out with them. They'd love to have you. They're great to hang out with, too. 713-780-ESPN. Let's ask a Wheelhouseman this question. What would they do during a wedding, during a potential Game 6? And what has been the biggest difference maker in this series? One of the biggest difference makers in my life is Gentle Ben. I flat out say it, and I stand by it. The vodka, the gin, the bourbon, they're all part of the rotation for me, and they're all very important. Gentle Ben does it better than anybody else. Why? Because they use their state-of-the-art, innovative Prosecco craft technology that's better in purity, it's better in aroma, and it's better in taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Ben is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. They take out all the impurities. Try a sip of Gentle Ben. Compare it to your brand, you're going to taste the huge difference that I did when Ricky Ford, owner of Gentle Ben Spirits, A&M Class of 85, by the way, had me out to the tasting room at Alvin to see what I thought, and ever since then, I've been a Gentle Ben man. It is so smooth, it is so clean, it eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. You can find Gentle Ben Vodka and Gin at Total Wine and Specs, also online at gentleben.com. And big news, their bourbon is now out on the market. That double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards this year, you can find the bourbon out at the stores now. 10 different Specs locations all around Houston. So you're in the city of Houston, head to Specs, you'll find it there. Longhorn Liquor in Mount Bellevue, Economy Liquor in Galveston, Pearland Fine Wine, Potter's Liquor in Friendswood, Peter's Cut Rate in Angleton, and Marina Bay Liquor in League City. Get your hands on that Gentle Ben Bourbon double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards. Sit back with good company and raise a glass of the very best Gentle Ben.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Drift Bar. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We are from Drift Bar in the Heights, 1207 West 20th Street. The Wheelhouse will be here until 7 o'clock. Swing on by, hang out with them. Great time here at Drift. Great time when the Wheelhouse is here as well. Also, happy hour specials until 8, 97.5 Beer Bucket Special. If you can't make it out today, well, you should, but if you can't, tomorrow's going to be a great time at Drift. World Series Game 6. Also, this is the LSU Alumni Watch Party spot every single Saturday. This place is going to be wild tomorrow with Alabama and LSU kicking off in the evening. Dog-friendly patio, so you have a dog. This is the spot. Two biggest screens in the Heights as well. 250-inch screen on the south patio. Wall-to-wall TVs in here as well. Cody Stutz is hanging out
you know
with
anybody
us.
Anybody that has a dog?
You do?
Oh, yeah, I got more than one.
You have a dog. You can bring them all out here to Drift.
I actually thought about it, but I didn't know how you'd react to it. Yeah,
How I would react to it?
While we were doing
your
the show.
Are your dogs misbehaving?
Well, yeah, well, I hope not, but while we had the show, I thought about bringing our puppy, our youngest.
I would have been cool. I don't know if they can they come inside here?
Yeah, they've been
here?
In here before, yeah.
Yeah, you should do it. I mean, as long as your dog's well-behaved and it's not going to bite me, I would have no problem with it.
I can't speak for the latter.
Do a lot of dogs bite you, Jeremy?
No, I haven't been bit since I was like five.
What were you doing when you were five?
Nothing. Nothing. Okay. It was all a little Pomeranian. I wanted to punt it, but I didn't because I love dogs and animals.
So we have an animal abuse guy here.
And I do not condone that, PETA. Do you have a dog?
No.
Yeah. I like dogs. I don't like cleaning up after dogs. I'm far too lazy for that. I don't want to clean their poop and sweep up their hair. Like, I don't want to do that. I
feel bad for your kid.
Touché. That's a good point.
It's well played.
A very good point, Cody.
I mean, we have no choice there.
Let him be dirty.
Brandon Baby's got a dirty diaper. Something's got to be done.
Let him be dirty.
It's one thing to leave it laying in the lawn. It's another thing to leave it laying in the diaper. That's not going to go over.
Why is the baby crying? Probably needs a change. Keep him dirty.
Champ of the day right there, I think.
Keep him dirty.
If you had to go to a wedding tomorrow, one, how serious does this relationship, friendship have to be in order for you to go? Two, what are you doing at the wedding to try to watch the game, or maybe even you're avoiding it, trying to like DVR and get home.
So this is not my wedding.
No, okay. You're going. You're a patron in this wedding.
I would probably need to be in the wedding to not seriously consider bailing on the wedding.
Ooh.
Is it not true that things have changed a little bit too? Because I'm with Cody. It's so much easier and almost accepted now to duck out on a wedding. Whereas before, if you were asked to be there, it was a pretty prestigious thing that you should have to honor. And then even more so, if you were asked to be any part of it, you can't get out of it. You can't say no unless it's absolutely like a massive deal in your life. You can't get out of being an usher or standing up or doing that. Nowadays, it's like, oh, you invited me to your wedding? That's cute, but I don't have to go.
How cool is the wedding about to be, too? It's a big question.
Like, what's the turn-up going
to
be?
Yeah, because I went to a wedding on St. Patrick's Day one year. I was in the wedding. I missed my annual March Madness trip with all my college buddies to be in this wedding. And they had TVs everywhere for the reception. We were watching March Madness basically the whole time.
That's what we were talking about, too. Like, are televisions within the realm of possibility? Like, can you step out of the ballroom, go into the bar, and there's a TV there? Like, that is part of the equation, I think, here.
I'm already thumbs down fall wedding.
Yeah.
I mean, fall wedding during the World Series? Oh, that's rough.
Like I had no choice. I mean, with the rocket schedule coming out and everything like that, I had a very tight window of the available time, so you just had to kind of go with that. But, yeah, I wanted to be, like, fan-friendly. If you're going to be at my wedding and you want to watch some games on college, I even made sure in my reception there was, like, an area to watch the football games that were on Saturday night.
There you go. That's a good move. I mean, you're definitely – dialed into the phone so that you can watch it while you're at the reception.
Video
or
like GameCast?
Oh, video.
I had big screen TV.
What is this? 2002?
But I ask you guys, am I wrong in thinking that blowing off a wedding nowadays is so much easier than previously, where it's like if I invite you, because I know how sensitive I was to like how much per head it was with all the people you invite. And if they just blow you up, like Tad Brown and Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey was only coming if certain players were coming that he might be able to sign in free agency. Tad Brown had me held hostage till the day of my wedding, holding two spots for him and his wife. I'll be there unless there's rain for my daughter's soccer game, and left me holding the tab.
It's like $70 a plate.
Yeah, at least.
For like mediocre chicken and potatoes.
That's the problem. If you've already committed to go, you got to go. Because you don't want to cost them the money, or you write them a check for the difference and say, hey, sorry about that. Here's a wedding gift plus what we cost.
And Tad didn't give a gift.
Wow.
How really? About that, Tad Brown?
Tad's cheap? No way. Yeah. I would have never guessed that.
That surprised me. That surprised me.
Texans wore their red helmets yesterday, which I didn't know people were. Did you? I don't like the gloss as much. I don't mind the red. I don't like the red on red. I would like to see the red on blue. I think that would be pretty cool. I didn't realize that there was such like an uproar for red helmets. And I put out on Twitter like a poll, do you like them? It was like 90% people liked the red Texans helmet.
I loved them. Yeah, I know you're talking about the matte finish, which is pretty popular these
days. I
think
I would have liked the matte more than a gloss.
I like just the way
cool.
they were. I was better. Anything was an upgrade over what they've been doing.
Yeah. Fans have been clamoring for some adjustment to the uniform for years. Now, obviously, fans want new uniforms in totality.
Yeah.
But they've been clamoring for something different, some adjustment.
Wait, they got a logo on the back collar.
I don't know.
That was big.
That was one of the most annoying things, a big uniform change, and it was just a logo
right.
on the back collar.
Yeah.
I don't hate the Texans unis. Like, I mean, how much, like, what big difference are you going to do to make them all
unpopular
of a sudden way
opinion?
Better?
I'm with you.
Like, they're fine.
Everybody wants to change the logo and everything about them. I don't have a problem with their uniform.
I would just crisp up the lines within the uniform, make it a bit more sleek,
yeah,
and stuff like that.
Modernize it a little bit
modernized. And then once you have new uniforms, you have the old uniforms on, like, hey, we're putting somebody in the Ring of Honor. Like, that player calls the uniform combination that day, like, their favorite from when they played.
You know, Oregon, because, again, I guess, unpopular opinion, I don't mind the logo or the uniforms that everybody wants, I think, the Seahawks-type version. But the story that where everybody had started from was Oregon with Phil Knight and Nike, and they have all these different jerseys and helmets and all that. Casey Jacobson, the golfer that's now the golf coach there, the guy that famously tried to have the golf cart to golf, he's the guy that gets to pick the uniforms every week for Oregon.
The football team?
They let him pick the uniforms every week.
I mean, Oregon's like a housewife where they never wear the same outfit more than once.
Right.
You know, which is, I mean, it's kind of cool, but it's kind of weird. Like,
I don't know what housewives you know. You're talking about the Real Housewives?
I watch way too much Real Housewives. I can thank my wife for that. Belmer and I were talking about this a little bit earlier. You know what the look I would want to see? Because I thought the red helmet, red jersey was like a little, I mean, coming from a Cougar, too much red, which, I mean, what am I talking about? I would like to see a little white on white with the red helmet. Like for a road
game. I want
the
white jersey with the red helmet. I think that would look pretty good.
That would look awesome, I think.
Yeah,
now, white on white, though. Like a white on white top, white pant, red helmet, I think would be sharp.
So everything white, but the helmet be red?
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. They're only scheduled to wear it once. I have a hunch that that will get put into the rotation more than just once.
You know what? I've never been a guy that likes same color helmet as jersey, but I saw even the Bears did it, and I'm like, that works. Like, the way they did it, it really looked good.
I'm glad they didn't go red on red on red, though. I was happy to see that. I thought that would have been
like their old color rush on Thursday nights where you had to do the
I thought that's what they were doing.
Now, I would take the color rush jersey and pants with the red helmet. That would look
good. That would look good, too.
Say that again?
Yep. The color rush jersey and pants with the red helmet.
So blue on blue with the red top?
Yeah.
With the red helmet, not a top?
I think that would look cool, too.
That's what I want to see.
I think that would look good.
I want combinations.
They got a little bit more versatility. Obviously, if you're doing like a salute to service day, you can wear the red hat, white shirt, blue pants. You got red, white, and blue if you wanted to do that.
Yeah. Astros won yesterday.
Yep.
Astros won the baseball game. They're up 3-2 in the series. Return home tomorrow. Fromber on the mound. Hopefully that quality start tour one more time at Minute Maid Park. What do you think has been the difference maker so far through five games in the World Series?
Just boiling it down to absolute
one answer
thing.
However you want. It could be a layman answer. It could be a very specific answer.
Philly doesn't have enough hitters.
Huh. Wow. See,
that's
surprising.
The more I watch the series, the more I believe that. Because I think Castellanos is Josh Donaldson, but I also think Rhys Hoskins is Josh Donaldson.
Hoskins has a dong, though, at least.
He has one.
The way they build that lineup is not how I would build that lineup. I would put
– Order, you mean?
How they build that lineup and that order, I would put Harper higher. I'd put Schwarber behind Harper.
I see that.
And then, I'm not worried about anybody after Bryce Harper.
If that was heyday Gene Segura would be a perfect set the table.
Probably two-hole between the lefties.
That's what I was thinking, two-hole.
The only time I thought Harper higher in the series was actually last night when Smoltz kept trying to count down how many people had to reach for Harper to come up.
Yep.
And I was sitting there thinking in my head, boy, I bet you they would love to have Bryce Harper in the leadoff spot, the two spot, spot.
If they went Schwarber-Harper, that would make more sense than what they do now.
Lefty-lefties there, but against the Astros, it wouldn't matter. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse today?
Lots of discussion about the World Series, all the different elements of last night. What do you expect from Game 6? What do you do if Yuli's not 100%? What do you do if there is a Game 7? Lots to discuss.
All right, you want to be here, listen to the Wheelhouse, but be here at Drift in the Heights as well, 1207 West 20th Street, a great time to be had for all. It's going to do it this week for the Killer Bees. Thanks to Belmer, on-site engineer. Thanks to Brendan back inside the studios at ESPN 97.5. For Blank, I'm Branham. We'll talk to you next week, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
When the world is calling, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, including Montreal, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, travel from Columbus is closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.